Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast with Brother Eric John Phillips here on June 28th, 2026, on the Lord's Day, as we worship Him in spirit and in truth, as we come into God the Father by the great mediator, the risen Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who is our Savior, who is the propitiation not for our sins only, for the church, but in fact for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2. He is now at the right hand of God the Father, expecting His enemies to be made His footstool. And in the meantime, He's saving His elect that have been ordained to eternal life before the foundation of the world, a predetermined number of His elect. During this time, in this dispensation of the grace of God, in which the church, the body of Christ, exists, and the period of time is called the present evil age of Galatians 1:4, we are to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, daily, routinely, purposely, by the power of the Spirit of God, as Satan seeks to destroy it off the face of the Lord's flat earth. So the topic of the message today is Islam, the sword of the church. Islam, the sword of the church. Father, we pray in Jesus' name you bless this podcast and that you'll strike it to the hearts of the listeners as this is the truth. Cause true repentance and faith in Christ. Continue to save thine elect until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, after which we will be transferred, translated by thy Son to be with thee forevermore. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Islam, the sword of the church. Islam, the sword of the church. Now, there's two passages of scripture that are foundational to this. The first one is, we read in John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've heard that a million times. Again, verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God has made provision for all men to be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Islam is a religion of condemned men. They are lost. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. And their father is the God of this world, the ruler of this world system, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And so, the Muslims, although provision has been made for them for salvation, we see here in John 16, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, if they are not saved, they don't know the one true God. There is only one mediator, one go-between, between mankind and the one true God. And it's Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 Timothy 2, 4 and 5, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ, not Muhammad, not the Pope. There is no vicar of Christ. The vicar of Christ is the Holy Ghost. The vicar of Christ is the Spirit of God. He's the Comforter. He's the one that's here in absence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit, left heaven to be our Comforter, those of us in Christ. But those not in Christ are dead, dead in trespasses and sins. They are condemned, having no hope in the world, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and following. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, that's this world system of the devil, according to the prince of the power of the air. This is Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the ruler of this present world system. The Lord Jesus Christ is not the ruler of it. He controls it. He guides it to fulfill his counsel. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not establish this world system. Satan did. And all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's all that's in the world. Money, sex, and power. Period. And the one who governs it, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Every Muslim is not saved. Every Muslim is condemned. Every Muslim is outside of the true church, the body of Christ, that is bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Ephesians 5. The religion of Islam is overseen by their father, the devil, and the lusts of their father they will do, because he was a murderer from the beginning. John chapter 8, verse 44. That's why Christ said to the Jewish leaders in John 8, 44, ye are of your father, the devil. Indeed, John 8, 44, ye are of your father, the devil. And he's talking to the Jewish leaders here. And the lusts of your father, the desires of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. If you eat of that fruit, you surely will not die, because the day you eat of the fruit, you're going to be like Elohim. You're going to be like God, knowing good from evil. So go ahead, Eve, just go ahead, do it. Adam's standing there, watches his wife eat that fruit. She loses her garment of light. She dies spiritually. And he says to himself, oh my, what's happened to my wife? And he eats the same thing. He does the same thing. He's disobedient. And hence, we have mankind now fallen in complete and total disobedience in the kingdom of Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ said, all men are in the kingdom of Satan. We read in Acts chapter 26. As the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to Paul, who would be the Apostle Paul, and he is telling of his experience when he spoke with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You hear that, Muslims? The Lord Jesus Christ was slain. He's risen from the dead and is at the right hand of Almighty God the Father, according to himself, according to the written word of God. We read, the Apostle Paul speaking, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, those are the Jewish people, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. 18. To what? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. Excuse me. Again. To open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Sanctified means being set apart. And so all those who are not sanctified, set apart by the Spirit of God, they are all in the kingdom under the power, under the authority of Satan, and they're in his kingdom. Concerning that kingdom of Satan, we read. Concerning Satan's kingdom, we read of Christ as he speaks of it in Matthew 12, verse 26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Satan has a kingdom. He has a throne. And he has his most devoted servants. And his most devoted servants do the desires of their spiritual father, the devil. One of those desires is murder. It's not taking a life. It's not homicide, it is murder. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. And his servants and their religions are murderers also because they're following the works of their father, their spiritual father, the devil. Islam is such a religion. It's a religion of murder. And that unholy Quran that was written by the papacy in the Vatican and transmitted to Muhammad in North Africa through the Augustinian monks, this book is the perfection of tyranny and murder and destruction of freedom of conscience for people of color. Islam is for Arabs and for blacks, and it's the same exact religion for the whites of Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism, that religion of murder, which, by the way, has killed more of us white Anglo-Saxon Protestants and Baptists than Islam ever dreamed of killing. Islam is merely the sword of this Jesuit papacy to do killing at arm's length for the benefit of the Pope. Satan is their spiritual father. They do the deeds of their spiritual father. The desires of Satan they fulfill. And one of those desires of Satan is to kill the Lord's church. Satan hates the body of Christ. He wants to kill it. He wants to destroy it off the face of the flat earth. He knows he can't, but he can kill a lot of it. And all he has to do is get it into sin so that church, that particular body of believers, does not have the protection of God anymore, and Satan can move his Islamic sword to kill it. Remember, the Lord kills certain individuals for their sins. And these guys are believers. He did it to Ananias and Sapphira. They did it to the man who was having sex with his stepmother in 1 Corinthians, 5. The devil is a tool of the risen Son of God to punish the Lord's elect in sin. And hence we shall see that the vast majority of Christian sects, and I don't mean Romanism, they're off into sin and hence have been handed over to the devil's Islam to torture, persecute, and murder them. And that's one of the keys to comprehending how Islam is used by the Lord, how Satan's Islam is used by the Lord. So, we see Satan's kingdom's not divided. Romanism is not divided from Islam. They work together. Why do you think Joe Biden, that fanatical Roman Catholic, faking like he was sick or out of his mind, why do you think he gave $85 billion worth of American military hardware to the Sunni Muslims of Afghanistan, the Taliban? Why would he do that? Because with those wonderful $85 billion worth of American weaponry, he armed Islam to be used for the purposes of Rome and primarily for to be used against us. Rome has done this before. When America was about to invade Japan prior to the atomic on-ground detonations, which I cover in previous podcasts. What happened was there was enough equipment for 500,000 American troops to invade Japan. Where did that equipment go? Where did all that military hardware go? Why? It was given to Ho Chi Minh of North Vietnam, according to Larry Fletcher Prouty in his work, The Secret Team and JFK. So this emergency war powers military government that's been in place here since March 9, 1933, has been used by the Jesuit papacy to arm our communist enemies. There's a tremendous book called National Suicide, Military Aid to the Soviet Union, written by the good and great Anthony Sutton, a Stanford University professor. And what happened? Why? Anthony Sutton wrote his final work, America's Secret Establishment, Skull and Bones, and wasn't long thereafter, he dies. And so, as this military government in the military district of Columbia has financed communism, Russian communism, Chinese communism, it has also financed and armed Islam. The military district of Columbia, the headquarters of the commander-in-chief for the last 93 years or so, since March 9, 1933, when FDR imposed an emergency war powers military government as a result of the Great Depression. We still have it. We still have a state of national banking emergency, state of war. And with this commander-in-chief, be he Republican or Democrat, he rules America like an empire. He is an empire. He's a Holy Roman Emperor. And that Holy Roman Emperor, Trump or Obama or Bummer, or Barry Davis Obama, or Billy Boy Clinton, or Ronald Reagan, they're all emperors for the Pope of Rome to do his bidding. And one of the things they're doing right now is bringing the sword of the church, Islam, that murderous, killing religion, into the United States to be used against the infidels, the heretic American Baptists and Protestants, and also to be used against the Jews here, because Muslims believe that Jews run America and not the Pope and not the Jesuits. So they're perfect tools for the annihilation of American Jewry, brought here by the Pope of Rome for that purpose, as well as to be brought here for the destruction of obstinate Christians or Baptists such as myself. That's their purpose. Their purpose is to be a sword in the hand of Ignatius Loyola of the Jesuit order, nobody knowing really that Islam is ruled by the Pope through high-level Islamic Freemasonry. Their major lodges are out of Istanbul and Cairo. Ataturk, the head of Turkey, high-level Muslim Freemason, who was involved in the mass murder of the Armenian genocide during World War I in 1915. And who are you, Tucker Carlson, you fool, to try to tell us that Islam doesn't persecute Christians? Are you out of your mind? No, you're just another Jesuit coadjutor working for the CIA and being a brother Freemason, of course. You're just doing your job. Create anti-Jewish fury and lie about Islam being a religion of peace, just like your friend, Skull and Bones George W. Bush, that, for lack of a better word, an idiot, doing the bidding of the papacy during his entire presidency. So, Romanism, Jesuit-controlled Romanism, the sovereign state of Vatican City, run by the Jesuits, controls Islam. Why do you think Saudi Arabia is rich? Why do you think they have a huge gold hoard? For the Second Sunni Caliphate to unite all the Gulf states that are Sunni under Saudi Arabia. Why do you think the Jesuit-controlled Rockefeller dynasty of the monopoly of oil closed down American oil wells and made us dependent on foreign oil, like from the Middle East? There's no reason why America should be dependent on foreign oil when we have enough oil for 500 years here, enough coal for 1,500 years. Why would they then shut down our oil wells in Texas and various other places to make us dependent on Middle Eastern oil? Why would the Jesuits with their Rockefellers and their other secret society henchmen do this to us? They would do it for the purpose of this very hour, to make us dependent on much of our gas from the Middle East, and that oil would have to straight pass through the Straits of Hormuz, and that if that's to be cut off, they can justify raising the price of gas to further break the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist middle class, when we should have our own gas and oil here where we can pay 30 cents a gallon. Who did this? It wasn't the Jews. They don't run anything. They're just stepping fetchets for the papacy in any position of power they might be in, like George Soros and others. It's the Roman papacy that's done this to us, listeners. Made us dependent on foreign oil when they shut down our oil wells. Remember, that's an American technology. Oil wells, American technology. So we're going to shut them down, make us dependent on foreign oil to justify the war now with Iran, because Iran has been made super rich by its oil reserves and having somewhat of a monopoly over our American oil producers, so that Iran can be used by the Pope to fund radical Sunni Muslim terrorist groups like Hezbollah and Hamas and these other groups controlled by the Pope for the purpose of afflicting the Jews living in their own land, while never, ever being able to overthrow the military government ruling Israel for the Pope. The Pope runs the government of Israel, not the Jews, not AIPAC. The Pope runs it with his international, bloody, military order of the Society of Jesus. That's who runs Israel. Why do you think it does all these detrimental things to the Jews living there, like giving land for peace? Huh? It's to incite more killing of the racial Jews living in their own land under the Abrahamic covenant. That's an everlasting covenant and will never cease to exist. And finally, when the Lord returns at the second time, he's going to fully implement it, and the land promise will be fulfilled as he sits on the throne of David. In the meantime, the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites have a right to that land, but the government that rules them seeks to deprive them of the use of that land and constantly embroil them with wars, through attacking the Jews in Israel so they have to attack back and defend themselves. So, and what's the agency the Jesuits are using for this continual, ceaseless agitation in the Middle East? Islam. Sunni Islam, primarily now Shia Islam through Iran. But the Jesuits and the papacy want to destroy Shia Islam. They don't want any followers of Ali. They want the followers of Muhammad. And so Sunni Islam, energized by the Wahhabis that were created in the 1700s by Rome, and Sir Richard Burton had a hand in that because he's the first white man to go to Mecca, they're creating this fanatical Wahhabi sect which is in total control of the mosques in Arabia, the Mecca and Medina mosques. They're most fanatical in calling for the death of infidels. They run Sunni Islam. They run the quote-unquote royal family of Saudi Arabia. They're Wahhabis. And they hate your guts, Bible-believing, born-again Christian man. And they look forward to the opportunity to kill you if they have the opportunity. Remembering, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh him to be at peace with his enemies. So if we're right with God doing that which is pleasing to him, he'll keep those savages away from us. But the moment we get off into sin, personal sin or heretical sin, moving towards Rome, joining the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches, the Lord's pulling back his bow to remove those churches, to kill those disobedient believers, and he will use Islam to do it. He's done it in the past. He can do it right here in America. All the apostate Christians here with their apostate rock music, with their apostate, what do they call it? We have a worship service that's contemporary. It's hippie. That's worldly. It's satanic. Contemporary Christian music, that's Satan's rock music giving Christian lines. It's all of the devil. There's no holiness or anything like that involved with that. And so if that's what you want to be, now, of course, you're using the devil's Bible, because anything other than the AV 1611 or the Geneva Bible, translated from the Textus Receptus, is the devil's English Bible. Get Chris Pinto's great work, Bridge to Babylon. He completely shows you how the papacy is behind this corrupted, evil, wicked Greek text and all the new versions. He proves it. It's a wonderful publication from Adullam Films. Chris Pinto, get it. It's called Bridge to Babylon. So, believer, you're using the devil's New Testament, you're using the devil's Bible for a world government, the new international version with Jesuits, Carlo Cardinal Martini. Why, yes, the Jesuits' international version for an international world government, for an apostate church that's going to be consumed by the sword of Islam and Western civilization. And that's the purpose that Islam has been brought here by the Jesuit Order's intelligence community, its unified intelligence community, and the leaders of England and Scotland and Ireland and America and Canada and Germany. Bring those savages in here so they can rob, rape, pillage these white people that have apostatized from the Lord, departed from his Reformation Bible, live evil lives, busy watching pornography. So you know what? They'll bring the Muslims in here to kill us. They're a sword of the church. And they're serious. Chris Pinto has shown in some of his podcasts that for the last, 30, 40 years, these savage Muslims, these Pakistani Muslims, with their gang rape, preoccupied with their penises to put in the white vaginas of the English, they've raped over 1 million white women. But we won't talk about that now, will we? Now, you can't talk about that. Why, that is bigoted. You're talking evil against Islam. No, we're talking evil against the sins of these Muslims. Talking against them, exposing them for what they are. Murderers. From the beginning, like their spiritual father, the devil. And the lust, the desires of their father, they do. They lie. Oh, this we say we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe. No, you don't. The Jesus Christ of the scripture was slain for the sins of the world. He died on the cross. Muslims don't believe that. He was bodily resurrected after 3 days and three nights. And he ascended to God his Father since that time and is at his right hand. The Muslims don't believe in that kind of Jesus Christ. That's not the one they believe in. So Islam is a liar. They should come out and say, we don't believe in your Jesus Christ. We have our own Jesus Christ. But they're not going to tell you that. They want to deceive you. They want to lie to you so you can put your guard down and open up to them so they can destroy you. That's what they want. Remember what's on the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem? Hear, O Muslims, God has no son. I rejoice in the day that thing comes crashing to the ground. What an abomination, what an idol that is. It's a vicious, satanic, murderous, lying, horrible, impoverishing religion. It has no middle class. It has the super rich and everybody else is poor. Iran, what? They killed 20,000 of their own people in the last several months? That's Islam. That's the glory of Islam. And anybody that disagrees, we're going to kill you. If you convert away out of Islam, we'll cut off your head. So much for freedom of conscience in Islam. It's an enslaving, wicked religion, just like Romanism. There was a time when Rome had the power where if you left the Catholic Church, man, they would arrest you at night, grill you, and then find you guilty of heresy and burn you at the stake. At least I got to say about the Muslims, they never burned us at the stake. and Rome did. But now Western civilization. We have the invading Islam Muslims, the Sunni and the Shia. The Shia have taken over Dearborn, Michigan there, and they have their own little communities and their own little Sharia law. And woe to you if you disagree with them, because they want to beat you up. They want to kill you. Their final argument is force. Typical of an ignorant, stupid, vicious, wicked people, as many Roman Catholics are, because I was raised with them, and the final arbiting of anything had to be fists, had to be fighting. They don't want to reason with you. If you don't agree, we're going to beat you up, just like Islam. So, what we have here, Islam is a murderous, satanic, Christ-rejecting religion. Luther called it the kingdom of Satan. And he was right, because that's what the Bible calls it. It's the kingdom of Satan, and Islam is part of it. The leading entity of the kingdom of Satan is the Pope, is Romanism, because Islam is subject to that. Don't you think for one second, if the Pope didn't want Muslim nations rich, if it didn't want Saudi Arabia rich, do you think they would be rich? Of course not. If the Pope didn't want Iran in this controversy right now, it wouldn't be in a controversy, because the Pope put, when they got rid of the Palavicino, what was his name, the Shah of Iran, they put in the fanatical kookamani by the CIA. They all worked together, creating this agitation that the outcome would further the purposes of the papacy. And one of the purposes of this agitation now in the Straits of Hormuz is to drive the Sunni Muslim nations together. That's why Iran is shooting drones into, what is it, Qatar and some other places, to drive all those filthy rich Sunni Muslim nations together to form the second Sunni caliphate, while at the same time destroying Shia Islam, and then to bring Iran into it after it's been purged of the Shia. That's what they want. And so, Islam is a sword of the church to be used by the devil as he wishes, because they are his servants. They're energized by him. They're energized. They are the sons of disobedience, according to the book of Ephesians. They have not obeyed the gospel. Muslims do not obey the gospel. That's why they need to be saved. That's why we send evangelists among the Muslims. Brother Nico Verhoef out of Europe, he goes to Pakistan and he evangelizes the Muslims. And because he's bold about it, he has this respect of the Muslims there. Remember when I was in Bavaria there preaching in Munich, and Nico said, make sure you preach up, Eric, because the Muslims think Christians are a bunch of sissies. And why not? Because all these Christians turn the other cheek when they're attacked by these savage Muslims, when the Bible-believing, born-again man of God does not turn the other cheek, and he bears the sword of just defense, and he defends himself to the death of his attacker. That is biblical, Bible-based, Baptist, dispensational, Calvinistic Christianity. That's how the Reformation was won, with the sword of just defense by the Calvinists. And had they not resisted the armies of Rome, they would have destroyed us as they destroyed the Waldenses and the Vaudois and the Dark Age Christians that were persecuted and murdered by the Pope and his filthy Inquisition for 600 years. Yeah. So, Muslims, it's time that you wake up. It's time that you wake up. You're just a tool for the Pope. He's using you for the purposes of the devil, and it's time that you repent, that you turn to God away from your sins, repent and believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, and then to begin to denounce Islam as a tool of the Pope. And you're not going to serve the Pope anymore. Muslims, now once you're saved and you're no more Muslims. Because I preach the same thing to you Roman Catholics. You Roman Catholics need to be saved. And once you're saved, you're no longer going to serve the Pope and be his tools in his crusades that he's going to use the American military to wage around the world over the face of the Lord's flat earth for the benefit of the Pope of Rome. And he's getting ready to do that right now. The draft is in place. All that needs to happen is an incident. An incident. Martial law will be declared. The draft will be put in place. They're going to draft all these young men, primarily white, into the military. They're going to send them overseas to a foreign war, whether it be against China or in the Middle East against Iran, and most of them aren't coming back. Because the devil has prepared you, you servants of the devil, not believing the gospel, has prepared you for his purposes to wage crusades to further the temporal political power of the Pope, which includes the destruction of the mosques in Jerusalem and the building of the third Hebrew temple for the Pope, not for the Jews. Because the final Pope of Rome will be the Antichrist. He'll be slain with a sword. Revelation 13, 14, he will rise from the dead to be the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth himself, who opposes all that is of God. It's for 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Showing himself that he is God in the temple of God. The temple of God is the third Hebrew temple. It's the same temple of Revelation 11. Where the two witnesses are told to measure it. The devil is going to use all of you unsaved white men to conduct his crusades in the Middle East and China for the purposes of preparing for the 70th week of Daniel, yet future. And it bothers me. It bothers me to think my countrymen would be used so thoroughly by Satan, but why not? We've departed from the Bible. We've obeyed that wicked Warren Supreme Court back in 1963 that outlawed the reading of the Reformation Bible in the public schools. The public schools are founded by the Calvinists, by the Protestants and the Baptists. That's our creation. And we went along with it. Our fathers went along with it and should have said, ain't no way. We're not taking the Bible out of our public schools that we pay for. Who do you think you are? Devil-worshipping Earl Warren, you white devil, you 33rd degree Freemason serving the Pope of Rome with your Jesuits at Georgetown University, which Earl Warren spoke many times at. Earl Warren covering up the assassination of Kennedy that was overseen and carried out by Francis Cardinal Spellman, as I prove in my book, Vatican Assassins. But oh no, we can't talk about that. Why, the Catholics might get mad. The Jesuits run Islam. And that's why recently, over the past year, the Vatican has opened a room there in the Vatican, and it's a prayer room for the Muslims. And you're telling me the papacy is against Islam? Are you crazy? What's two and two? I think it's four. They use it. Why do you think John Paul II, kissed that big green book that some Arab Muslim was holding, handed it to him, which is called the Quran. Why do you think the Pope kissed the Quran? Because it's his book, and those who believe it do his bidding for the killing of heretics at the hands of Islam for the benefit of the Pope. And I'm going to give you some examples. Okay. This is for all you deceived individuals teaching that Islam was always good to Christian people and we can live side by side with them. Does history mean anything to you? I mean, real history? I read from a book now titled The Burning Tigris, A History of International Human Rights and Forgotten Heroes, The Armenian Genocide and America's Response by Peter Balakian. Balakian. And he writes on page Roman numeral 15, during the 1890s, Sultan Abdul Hamid II ordered massacres against the Armenians, the largest Christian minority culture in the Anatolian part of the Ottoman Empire, that's Turkey, and took the lives of about 200,000 Armenians. So, this is the 1890s. The Sultan called for the killing of Armenian Christians that were harmless. They were good subjects in the Ottoman Empire. But you see, the Pope wanted them dead. So the Pope told Hamid Abdul Hamid, you need to kill these Armenians because they're heretics, just like we killed the Waldensians and the Albigensians and the Albigensian genocide in the 1300s in Europe. We want you to kill these Armenians. Because you're the sword of the church. And you do that for us, we'll make Turkey a great nation, and we'll use the American people to build you and to give you weapons and to give you technology. We'll use the American government that we run to build you in Turkey, and we'll help Ataturk, that murderer, that wicked Masonic sinner, the head of Turkey. And by the way, you don't say anything bad against Ataturk. If you go to Turkey, they'll kill you. They have their money there in Turkey. And if you happen to drop it on the ground and Ataturk is on the bill, you pick it up and you kiss it. But he kissed the bill here with Ataturk's face on it. Because if you don't, we're going to kill you or beat you half to death. That's Turkish Muslim mentality. Who's the baddest? Who's the toughest? Not who's right. Yeah. In Korea, when the Turks were in Korea, the North Koreans and the Chinese were deathly afraid of them. When they find a Chinese communist or whatever that they were fighting against the North Korean, they would take him, they would cut off his head, they would hang up the dead body over the gate into their camp with the flies buzzing around it, and everybody knew that the Turks had killed some enemy. That's what they do. And nobody messed with the Turks. When it was heard that the Turks were in the valley, the Chinese communists and the North Koreans got out of there. The Turks are serious killers when it comes to war. And they're serious killers when it comes to invasion of North America. When the Muslims finally invade this place, the Turks will be with them. And you black men that think you're so tough, you think you're so bad, wait till the Turks get a hold of you. American black servicemen, when they're stationed in Turkey, when they try to go after their Turkish women, the Turks capture them, cut off their penis, sew their penis in their mouth, and kill them, and they find them dead in the gutters. That's why the American black servicemen, we don't want to go to Turkey, man, because we can't get any Turkish vagina. I've heard him say it. The Turks are serious, man. They're the epic Muslims, and they're all Sunnis. And so we read here that the Sultan ordered the massacres of these Armenians in Anatolia, or Turkey, in the Ottoman Empire. A little bit down a little farther, in 1896, Congress passed the Cullum Resolution, the first international human rights resolution in American history, condemning the Sultan for the massacres. Well, how about condemning the Sultan for the massacres, but don't trade with him anymore? Don't give him any of our technology. Our ships aren't stopping in your ports. And we remember that Gallipoli, the terrible battle between the English and the Muslims in World War I, killed 100,000 or so English Protestants, white Englishmen. Now, we don't want to have anything to do with you Turks. We don't want to have anything to do with your Islam. Stay away from us. We stay away from you until you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we will have something to do with you. But until such time, we know you want to kill us. We know you hate us. And so stay away from us, because we're armed and we white Calvinist Baptists will fight back. We're the first leaders in beginning the rebellion against political tyranny in Munster in the 1500s, when we resisted the German lords that were treating us Baptists like horrible trash, persecuting us, and finally we rose up against to resist it. And you can read all about it in Orca's Concise History of the Baptists. We take up the sword of just defense, and we're serious about it, especially if we're Calvinistic, believing in the providence of God and the use of the sword of just defense, and you're not taking our guns from us, any of you, whether you communists, whether you white feminist liberals, whether you liberal Jews, well, all you Freemasons, whatever, we're not taking our guns, because anybody that wants to take our guns is going to set us up to be killed by the Muslim savages that they brought over here, that hate us, that rape us, that have no respect for us, because all they respect is power. Then they step back. Like Richard the Lionheart, when he went into the Holy Land there, and he was fighting with the Muslims, when they were fighting in the Dome of the Rock there in Jerusalem, the blood of the Muslims was as high as the knees of the Crusaders when they were killing them in mass. And the Muslims had respect to Richard, and they called him Richard the Lionheart. And they were afraid of him, as they should be. As they should be afraid of all Bible-believing Christian men. When they want to hurt us, when they want to rape our women, when they want to steal from us, and when they want to kill us, they should say, if we do that to them, they're going to come back and they're going to kill us. That's right, we will. We have the right of self-defense and go on offense to do it. You want to start it, we're going to finish it. As unto Jesus Christ, who calls us to resist unto blood, striving against sin, Hebrews 12:4, and never turning the other cheek. The church that turns the other cheek gets slaughtered. That's what happened to the Albigenses. That's what happened to the Vaudois, the Waldensians. They believe in the heresy of not taking up the sword, and so they were exterminated in the hundreds of thousands by the papacy. Just like these Mennonites around here are going to be exterminated. Just like these Amish are going to be exterminated. None of them believe in taking up the sword of just defense. And I can imagine the Jesuits and their agents and the Muslims, they've told them, listen, when you go out to these Mennonite farms, they're not going to fight against you. So just take turns raping their women, steal all their food, just take their cattle, take their bulls. Because the Muslims love bull meat. They don't like steer meat. They like bull meat that's full of testosterone. There was an incident here just recently where the Amish sold a couple of bulls to these Muslims in Harrisburg, and they were having halal, and they were having a big sacrifice there. We're going to cut the throat of these bulls. And one of the bulls escaped and got loose, and they had to shoot it before they could cut its throat. This is in Harrisburg a couple of months ago. And the Amish are doing it because the Amish worship money. So the Muslims have plenty of money from Saudi Arabia and probably from this government. And so for the love of money, they're providing this bull meat to Muslims. And when they eat bull meat that's full of testosterone, they become that much more of a fighting force. They don't want steer meat. They want bull meat. And I tend to think we ought to have bull meat. We white Baptist Calvinists, we ought to start eating bull meat. Well, we have the Turkish beginning of the mass murders of the Armenians in 1890s. But the big murders take place in 1915 during World War I. Roman numeral page 19. Reread. The Association of Genocide Scholars and the Community of Holocaust Scholars, which is to say the professional scholars who study genocide, affirm that the extermination of the Armenians was genocide, and that this genocide took the lives of about two-thirds of the Armenian population of Ottoman Turkey. Ever heard that? Ever heard that the Turks killed two-thirds of the Armenians in Ottoman Turkey? Ever heard that before? Huh? Out of exasperation with Turkish denial, the Association of Genocide Scholars in 1997 passed unanimously a resolution stating the facts of the Armenian genocide. In June 2000, 126 leading Holocaust scholars, also deeply troubled by Turkey's campaign of denial, published a statement in the New York Times. 126 Holocaust scholars affirm the incontestable fact of the Armenian genocide and urge Western democracies to officially recognize it. Yeah, how about that? How about this? Not only recognize it, but to keep Turkey out of here until they repent. All I hear is about the Germans with this and the Germans and the genocide on the Jews. How about the Turks and the genocide of the Armenians, which they deny to this day? They refuse to admit it. And there is a husband and wife team that are Turkish, and they've come out and said, yes, Turkey has done this, and they've went to the international community, so-and-so. You know what the Turkish government did? They threw him in jail. I don't know if they died there or what. The shibboleth of Turkey is, you got to deny the Armenian genocide no matter what. And I say, you don't give those Turks, that government of Turkey, one dime. Don't give them anything. Let them rot on the vine. Let Islam rot on the vine, because it will. Any dictatorship, any tyranny, always rots on the vine because the people can't stand it and are suffering under it. Just let it rot. In fact, the Ottoman Empire was called the sick man of the East before it fell in 1924. as the Jesuits orchestrated their World War I for the falling of the Ottoman Empire and for the falling of the Russian Empire in 1918, and for the falling of the Habsburg Empire, and for the beginning of the falling of the British Empire. The Jesuits orchestrated all of this. But as to this topic, the Vatican runs Islam, and it persecuted the first Bible-believing Christians that we know of, and it was in Turkey and Anatolia, and they were ultimately evangelized, their forefathers, by the Apostle Paul. That's where you have your seven churches in Turkey of Revelation 2 and 3. During the Spanish Civil War, led by Generalissimo Franco, and his overthrow of the Spanish Republic established in 1932, where they gave freedom of religion, freedom of worship to the Protestants and everybody else, I want to show you what kind of freedom there was under the Spanish Republic. We read from Days of Our Years by Pierre Van Passen on page 468. We read, I found them rather conservative theologians, a confirmed fundamentalists. They related to me the hopeful beginnings that had been made by the various Protestant missions in Spain since the Republic had been established in 1931, pardon me, not 32, but 31. And by the way, the Jesuits were expelled from Spain at this very same time. So they set up a Protestant Republic in Spain and expelled the Jesuits. They no longer could subvert the nation of Spain and teach its children. And freedom of worship had been decreed for all cults. 2 years before Alfonso's, as the King of Spain's, abdication, a humble woman of the people had actually been jailed by the Inquisition for affirming to some friends gathered around the village pump that our Lord had little brothers and sisters, as the New Testament definitely states. That's Matthew 13, that's right. And those who wanted to worship outside the official temples had still been doing it in great secrecy in the dread of the Carboneros. All of that was changed by the Republic. The Protestant missions had gained 150,000 adherents in Spain in 4 years' time. The godless workers in the slums of Barcelona, Madrid, and other cities had sent 67,000 of their children to the Protestant day schools. No less than 1 million Bibles had been distributed by the British and Foreign Bible Society, of which 300,000 had been purchased. Yes, the gospel had prospered wonderfully under the Republic, and our brethren of the evangelical branch of the Anglican Church, I was told, had taken a special interest in Spain. And even after the trouble broke out with Franco's revolt, the people had not burned or disturbed a single Protestant chapel. All had remained open and crowded, even in the days of bombardment and terror. Now watch what happens. Franco is the Jesuit savior of Catholic Spain. They are determined to kill every Spaniard to bring Spain back to the Pope of Rome because they kicked out the Jesuits and had no dealings with the papacy. So we read, as to the Protestants and territories occupied by the insurgents, there was news only from a few places. Communication between the capital and the cities and provinces in the hands of Franco was not only difficult, it was dangerous to bore. B-O-O-R. But at least the following incidents were known on the indisputable authority of refuge Protestants from Toledo. Upon the conquest of that city by Franco, the Moors, these are the savage Muslims out of Morocco, okay? The Moors and their soldiers of the Tercio had been let loose in the hospital where a Protestant pastor, Don Jaime Orido, and his wife were confined to bed with illness. They were bayoneted along with other 250 patients in the institution. That's real Muslim courage, don't you think? Bayonet someone that's bedridden in a hospital. The cowardly, filthy, sinful Muslim Moors. Another pastor in Toledo, Don Michael Amorain, was arrested in his house and kept a prisoner for a month, then led to the execution field in the company of all the Jews who could be rounded up in the city by the fascists and shot down by a RIF firing squad. So it's a Muslim firing squad that's shooting down these Jews. for the fascists, for the papal fascists serving Roman Catholic Franco, the Generalissimo. At Saragossa, fascist troops pillaged the Protestant chapel, befouling the Bible. That means pooping and urinating on it. Befouling the Bible and the pulpit with their own order, and arrested the pastor, Don Benjamin Harris. He was led out in the square in front of the cathedral after a mass of people had been summoned into the streets to see the show. There, the pastor and the local liberals and labor leaders, among whom was one deputy to the Cortes, had their hands and feet tied and were left in the middle of the street to face two oncoming 40-ton tanks. That's real Muslim mercy. That's real Muslim courage. Arrest them, tie them up, and make them get mowed down by some tanks. That's what they're going to do here, folks. That's what they're going to do to us as soon as they get the opportunity. You just need to know what they're going to do. My duty is to tell you what they did, what they're going to do now here, and it's up to you to do something about it. At Granada, the two Protestant pastors, Don Jose Garcia Fernandez and Don Salvatore Ignaz, were seized by rebel soldiers and shot. The wife of Dr. Fernandez faced the firing squad with her husband and his colleague after she had been raped by a number of Muslim troopers of a Spahi cavalry regiment. That's right! Gotta have some rape going on here now, otherwise we Muslims aren't happy. With 70 virgins we're going to get once we die. We got to do plenty of rape down here when we're here. It's like they're doing to the white English girls right now. They did to the Spanish women, to the white Spanish women. Savage black Moors out of Morocco. So, I just want you to see that fascism and Islam work together in the killing of heretics and infidels for the purposes of Satan's Pope to submit all nations to the temporal political power of the Pope. Islam and fascism work together in Spain. Now we'll mention it in Italy. Benito Mussolini, whose advisor was Pietro Tacciaventure. The picture of Pietro Tacciaventure is in Chris Pinto's excellent work, American Jesuits, a very evil, sinister, ungodly, powerful, demon-possessed Jesuit. And he advised Benito Mussolini in the Lateran Treaty that was entered into in, 1922 for the benefit of the Pope of Rome. And Benito Mussolini, when he invaded Africa for the killing of 750,000 black Ethiopian Christians for the Pope, he was given by Libya the sword of Islam. And there's a very famous picture of Benito Mussolini holding a sword of Islam in his right hand above his horse that he's sitting on. Fascist Benito Mussolini worked with Islam for the destruction of Ethiopian Christian people, 750,000 of them. Islam and Roman fascism work together. How about another one? How about Adolf Hitler? Adolf Hitler, through Heinrich Himmler, whose uncle was a Jesuit, Jesuit Himmler, according to Edmund Paris in his book, The Secret History of the Jesuits, they had their SS. The SS was patterned after the Jesuit order, as I've proven in the past, and others have. And when they went into Croatia, or Yugoslavia, Hitler had invited the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem as a guest in Berlin for 4 years, from 1941 to 45. And the Grand Mufti was the one responsible for recruiting Croatian Muslims into the SS in a division called the Hanshar Division. And these savage Muslim SS men committed all sorts of outrages and mass murders and tearing out the eyes of the Serbs, who were Orthodox, heretics according to Rome. And so they used the Muslims to kill individuals, the Orthodox people of Serbia, deemed to be heretics. There's one instance where they slit open a pregnant woman's stomach, pulled out the little baby, and the Muslim savages got barefoot and stepped their feet right into her guts there. Real wonderful people. They gouged out hundreds of eyes. They had barrels of eyes that they gouged out, and they made necklaces out of them. When the Turks were in Korea, one of the things they do is when they kill their enemy, they cut off their ears and they make necklaces out of their ears. That's what the Turks did in Korea from 1950 to 1953. I know I had a friend who was with the Rangers in Korea. He told me all about it. Chuck, never forget him. So, Islam, Jesuit-ruled Islam, Masonic Islam, is controlled by the papacy and works with and helps kill, helps murder the fascists when they come to power. Examples, Franco, Mussolini, and now Adolf Hitler. So Hitler has his Handschar division. They kill hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of the Orthodox Serbs of Serbia. And they help set up a concentration camp called Jasenovac, and there's a book called Yugoslav Auschwitz in the Vatican, where these Franciscan savages, the leading one called Satan, carried out all these mass tortures against the Serbs in Yugoslavia. Because the fascists and the Muslims worked together for the targeted heretic populations of the Orthodox Serbs, of the Orthodox peoples, of the Orthodox Armenians. Are we getting it yet? Islam is a murderous, horrible, filthy, ungodly, wicked religion full of evil men that are just savages, and only thing they understand is force. They're not reasonable. And we brought, 80,000 of these black Muslim savages over here to the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you know what they're doing now? They're killing white men. They're killing young white men. Right now. But the Pope's Sean Hannity and Lawrence O'Donnell, those Irish Catholics, they'll never tell you about that on their news media. Not even Newsmax will tell you about that. Can't tell you that part. Because we're busy killing white men in America. Generally, they're Protestants and Baptists, because out of Minnesota, they were Lutherans. But they went apostate. And so now they're apostate, so they've lost their savor, and so they're taken and they're put in the fire to be burned. So the Lord brings the Muslims over here to kill them. And it's just beginning. They're going to burn down all of our Protestant and Baptist churches. They're going to do away with it because they're apostate. They've departed from the faith. They've departed from the Reformation Bible. And so now the Lord sent the fishers, evangelizing them, calling them to repentance, and they wouldn't repent. And so now he sent the hunters. And the hunters are the Muslims for the Pope. Eating bull meat, so they're high testosterone, want to have lots of rape with these white women and kill the white men. A perfect weapon in the hands of the Jesuit papacy. So what else? Now we have these huge Muslim populations. See all those hundreds of Muslims with their big loud mouths in Houston? I say disperse. They don't want to disperse. I shoot them down. That's what they need to be done to. You ought to be afraid to do that stuff. You want to do that in my country? I'm going to kill you. Because you want to kill me first. You want to take over my country that God has blessed me with, to reduce it to some Islamic savage nation where there's no middle class. And we get persecuted because we read the Bible. Oh no, that ain't happening until there's a huge resistance unto blood striving against sin. That's what needs to be done here. And if we had a government that was any good that would protect us, they would immediately round up all these Muslims and send them back to their Muslim countries. And if they refuse to go, you shoot them. Very simple how you solve the problem. Leave or die. Because you're not going to stay here and organizedly kill us under secret Jesuits and Freemasons overseeing you. It ain't happening. That's the determination that we white Bible-believing men need to have in every one of our historic white Protestant and Baptist nations, whether it's here or in England or wherever. Denmark. Gotta be a mandate, a law. Every man owns a gun. And if you don't own a gun, we're going to fine you. We're going to make sure you get a license to not own a gun. How about that? Yeah. Anybody that wants to take your guns from you wants to kill you. So, what's going to happen here? Well, the Jesuits have to impose their martial law here. That's their next great goal. And Islam will have a part in it. So I maintain that it's their intention to institute martial law and to move the capital from District of Communists, District of Catholics, District of Coloreds, from the military District of Washington, D.C., to move the capital to Denver. Why do I believe that? Well, there's a book titled Undercover by John Roy Carlson. And it was published in, 1943, during World War II. On page 360, we read, because John Roy Carlson was told to penetrate the fascists in America. And so he's talking with him here. And we used to have the top of the page 360. Yes, yes, I said, somewhat bored. I knew what was coming next. We'll have a second Declaration of Independence, elect a brand new Congress, and move the capital from Washington to Denver. Now you understand why they erected the Denver airport in preparation for the new capital there in the middle of the country. We'll reshape our republic and start from the beginning. I asked Spencer if he would welcome Hitler here, knowing in advance that the answer would be an emphatic no. No siree, no Hitler here. We don't want any foreign isms. They belong in Europe. We want an America for Americans. Absolutely right. That's what any American wants. That's what any nationalist wants. We want a Yankee American government to rule Yankee Americans. America for the Americans, that's my ticket. And that's correct. But this is what they're going to do. It's going to be the patriotic movement among white men that have been victimized for the last 60, 70, 80 years. We've had enough. We had enough of this anti-white, pro-black policy. We had enough of this pro-alien alien invasion by the Hispanics. We had enough of bringing these Muslims in here. And so it's going to drive us right into the arms of the new right that the Jesuits have been building with Jesuit coadjutor Donald Trump. That's where they want us to go. And when we go there, when martial law is declared and the capital is moved, there has to be an incident that will mandate that. I maintain that incident will be the demolition of the Capitol building in Washington, a national monument for all Americans. And Iran will be blamed for it. That will then call for a declaration of war against Iran. And with that, that will begin the first front of the war, and it will fall out for the benefit of the Pope's government of Israel, ruling that nation for the benefit of the Pope, no matter how many American white men have to die. And then when that begins to happen, why the American Jews will be blamed for this, AIPAC will be blamed, and it's the American Jews that got us over there in the war with Iran, and so it'll be a complete breakout of anti-Jewish fury here in America and Canada, and the new right will begin to round them up. And that will be the practical end of America. Right now, they're softening up our northern border and Canada and our western border with all these wildfires that have been deliberately set. Do you think these several hundred wildfires just started? My sister-in-law lives in Ouray. They're driven out of their house. Don't know if it's burnt down or what, but they've started this. And so now they're going to drive the American people to desperation and softening up the borders that will be invaded by the Red Chinese. China is planning on our invasion of the West Coast and coming down through the North. And so we have all those fires to soften it up. They're working on it. And I say we live in a very dangerous time. So we need to, first of all, truly repent. Believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And then we need to begin to resist Jesuitical political tyranny and ultimately call for the expulsion of the Society of Jesus out of the United States. which has never been done, because this is their empire, to wage war around the world, to reduce all nations to the political power of the Pope. And it seems like they're getting about done with this, so that they're going to use this for this last great crusade and then conquer America with a Sino-Soviet Muslim invasion. And then we'll see what real suffering's about. And I don't want to see it. That's why I preach to you and for you. That for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins, to be buried and resurrected from the dead, that whosoever of you believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Which your most important possession is your soul. And I pray you won't lose it. Brother Eric John Phelps, thank you for listening today. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wound in the House of My Friends. Please go to my website, VaticanAssassins.org, or 24/7 World Radio. You can pick up the book, the ebook, and I have other things there for your edification. Please send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073, or at Cash to Cash App at Cash Tag, Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S, or you can send a check to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. So until the next time we meet, may the Lord bless you as you do his will, as you read his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible in its present edition of 1769, the Bible of the English Reformation, the Bible of the founding of America, the name of the Lord might turn his great anger and wrath and judgment away from us in these last hours of what appears to be the final fall of America, ending thereby the Protestant Reformation of Western civilization. Till next time, Maranatha, Lord be with you.